Well, I was hoping to see my good friend Judge Martin from Conroe, and here he is with us today. He and I were friends before we became a judge, and he was a judge in Montgomery County for a long time and retired. Now he visits as a judge. I think when a county has a bad case that they need to have tried, or a controversial case that has to be tried, they call on Judge Martin to be the visiting judge, and he handles those things very well. We have a nice number of visitors with us today. I hope you get a chance to meet each of them. We have a family from Mississippi, and we have a family from South Dakota. They are most interesting because I've learned in talking to them that you can be a citizen of South Dakota, providing you're not a citizen of any other state, and that you come to their state at least one time in 5 years. That's an unusual citizenship. But the main thing is they are simply travelers. They don't have a permanent home. They've lived all over the world. And he has and continues to do work on behalf of the church in Africa. And we're glad to have a good brother and sister with us. If somebody says they're from South Dakota, then you can meet with them today and you'll enjoy knowing them very well. I usually start thinking about what I might want to talk about on Sunday morning, about Tuesday or Wednesday of each week. And then that gives me the remainder of the week to kind of put my thoughts together. This last week was interesting to me in listening to the news. And at the first of the week, the news was all about two congressmen who retired from the House of Representatives, which, considering those that don't resign, was quite remarkable to me. Evidently, there were accusations made against them that, even though they denied the more serious ones, nonetheless created problems for their continuing to serve our nation in Congress. When I was hearing the news stories about that, came to my mind something that I learned as a boy in church, a statement that the Bible affirms that is a warning to all of us. That statement is, be sure your sin will find you out. And I thought, these two men who obviously are very talented and wanted to serve did things that years later came to light and caused them to lose their positions. And how tragic that is. And I don't know where or how I learned that statement, but it's always stayed with me. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's amazing to me that human beings are so blinded that they think that they can always get by with doing wrong. Eventually, all of that catches up with a person, and the scripture simply wants to warn us about continuing and doing wrong, because eventually that will come to light. Having crossed my mind of the fact that here are two men that finally have had their lives completely uprooted because sin has found them out, I thought I knew exactly where to find that in the Bible. And I was embarrassed. It took a day or two to discover I didn't know where that was found in the Bible. I was certain that it was part of the story of David and Bathsheba. I mean, I could, in my own mind, see the prophet telling David, be sure your sin will find you out, and it has. But as I read the story of David and Bathsheba, I couldn't find that phrase. Finally, I resorted to Cruden's Bible Concordance. And it's really found in an innocuous story, at least that's my opinion, in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, I'm sure our ladies will remember because they studied it in their ladies' class. The book of Numbers is a book that just before Israel goes to take the promised land. And it's the last part of Moses' relationship with the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the book of Numbers, they come to the boundary line, the River Jordan, that separates the children of Israel from the promised land. And now the task is to go into the promised land, and all the tribes to contribute to the military and to take it by force. Well, two of the tribes, Reuben and Gad, had lived for a while east of the Jordan River. The land of Canaan was west of the Jordan River. And these two tribes found that the land east of the Jordan River was more suited to what they wanted to do in building their tribes. They came to Moses and they said, please excuse us from having to go with the other 10 to do battle in the land of Canaan. We want to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses said, no. You can't do that because the other 10 tribes need your men to serve in the army. The leaders of the tribe, Reuben and Gad, came back to Moses and said, you misunderstood us. We're not asking to be excused from military service. And all of our men will be armed and we'll go with the other tribes, cross the Jordan, and take control of the land of Canaan. All we're asking is that we allow the women and children to remain east of the Jordan, and then when we have conquered Canaan, for the men to be released from the military and to go back and build cities and towns in this area. Moses then said, all right, if you're willing for your men to go and do the military service and to stay in the battle until the land of Canaan is completely conquered, I'll let you have land east of the Jordan and you can return to that. But if you get in the middle of the battle and decide that you don't want to do that, and the men leave Canaan and return to the east of the Jordan, then that will be a sin against God, and your sin will find you out. So that's where the phrase originated. Sometimes as I represent people who are accused of doing wrong, and I either learn through the discovery process with the state or through their own statements of what all they have done that's been wrong in their lives, I kind of want to say, didn't you ever suspect you'd get caught? What were you thinking? And That's the way it is with all of us before God. One of the thoughts that Jesus left us in the Gospel of Luke is the thought that whatever we have done will be revealed publicly. That's an awful, awful thought. In Luke chapter 12, he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. That's really an awesome thought, isn't it? To think that everything that we think is so secret about our lives being revealed. Be sure your sin will find you out. Adam and Eve, of course, experienced that. Adam and Eve had a relationship with God that was very good. They had full communion with God. Then they sinned. They violated what God had told them not to do and ate of the fruit of the tree of that was in the garden. And one evening, the Bible says, God was going through the garden and he was looking for Adam and Eve. And he asked, Adam, where are you? And then Adam and Eve thought that by hiding, they could keep concealed what they had done that was wrong. But of course, that was not possible. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. You recall the story of Cain, who became very jealous of his brother Abel because Abel's sacrifice to God was accepted, whereas Cain's was not. And Cain asked Abel to come out into the open field, and he struck him and killed him. And then he concealed his body and acted as if he did not know where Abel was. God spoke and said, Cain, where is your brother? And the famous words of Cain, am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me? But God told him that the blood of Abel was on the ground and would be testimony against him. What Cain thought was concealed in his wrongdoing became very much public knowledge. Even Moses had that experience. Recall that Moses, when he was still in the position of being Pharaoh's son, went out one day to see how his Hebrew friends and relatives were being treated. And one of them was being mistreated by an Egyptian. And that made Moses very angry. And Moses struck out and killed the Egyptian. And then looking around, concealed his body, thinking that no one would know that he had killed an Egyptian who was persecuting a Hebrew. Well, the very next day, Moses is out with among the Hebrew children, and the two Hebrew men got into an argument, and Moses tried to break them up. And one of the Hebrew men said, well, what are you going to do? Kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? And it was then that Moses realized that what he had done in secret was now well known, and he had to flee from Egypt. That was when he was 40 years of age. I mentioned the story of David and Bathsheba. Certainly David tried in every way to keep concealed what he had done. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and shortly afterwards he received a note from her. I don't know what he expected the note to say, but it was a dreadful message to him. The message said, "I'm pregnant." And David realized that with her husband, Uriah, away in battle, and with what people saw and knew the night that he and Bathsheba were together, that it would be shameful for him. And so he wanted to keep that a secret, and he tried in every possible way. He had Uriah brought back, thinking that he would surely go home and be with his beautiful wife, and then her pregnancy could be known and no one would think anything about it. But Uriah was first and foremost a soldier. And to David's surprise, Uriah spent the night on the grounds. And when David said, "Why didn't you go home and be with your wife?" And he said, "All my fellow men in arms are on the ground. How could I treat myself to going home to my wife? And I won't do that. I'll still live the life of a soldier even while I am here temporarily on leave." By the way, Mason, Dorothy Gwynn is a friend I've had since 1968. And he looks after Dorothy, who now lives in Conroe. She has an unusual take on the story of David and Bathsheba. I don't know if she's told you this or not, but one time I was teaching the class on David and Bathsheba, and she said, "You know, no wonder Bathsheba got involved with somebody else. Your husband comes home and he won't even come home to you, and he'd rather spend the night on the ground like a soldier than to come home to you. No wonder she was tempted to be with David." I had never heard that or read that before, but that was Dorothy Gwynn's interpretation of Uriah and Bathsheba. When that did not work, David devised another way of keeping it secret. He would have Uriah placed in the most dangerous position in the battle, and knowing that he would be killed. And if Uriah is dead, then maybe nothing would come of her pregnancy. That didn't work either. People kind of knew what was going on with David and Bathsheba. That's where I thought the statement would be made, "Be sure your sin will find you out," because David tried everything in the world to keep that concealed, but it did not. The thought of this morning is not so much to be the frightening thought that everything that we have said or thought would become public, which would be a terrible thing to happen. But it is to remind us that we ought to be very careful about how we live. And we may think that we can keep sin a secret, but the Bible teaches us your sin will find you out. And that's a principle that seems to be true. The Apostle Paul says basically the same thing. He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. We're always sowing, aren't we? In everything that we do each day, in the thoughts that we have, and in the plans that we make. One of the most precious promises that God gives to us is not only that he forgives our sins, but he says to us, I will remember them no more. That to me is almost as good a blessing, if not greater, than the fact that he forgives our sins. You know, you can forgive somebody and still remember it every minute of the event. So forgiveness doesn't automatically mean that it's no longer in somebody's mind. But when God says, I will forgive their sins and I will remember them no more, that's the antidote to what we've been talking about, of our sin finding us out. Sometimes I wish God could create a faculty in our own minds so that we could forget our sins ourselves. One of the things that is true of human nature is even when you've been forgiven by Christ and you're at one with God, you do not find it possible to forget and to remember no more those sins. If God would simply give us the capacity to accept his forgiveness and to remember those sins no more, I think it would be a great blessing. He made provision for us and our forgiveness on the cross of Jesus Christ. He tells us, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And by saved, we mean that the forgiveness of all of our sins is possible. In addition, he uses poetic language to tell us that he not only forgives us, he forgets what we have done. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove you from your sins. He says, I will cast them into the deepest part of the sea. And so, as if never to be seen or heard about again. What a wonderful blessing he promises us and offers us through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of our sins, and he will remember them no more. We always in our services extend the invitation of Christ to anyone who wants to confess their faith in Christ and to be baptized into Christ. Or if you have a special prayer request, we invite you to come to the front while we stand to sing.
Of the world, to Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true, to Christ be loyal. Stand against the powers of sin, move not by frowns or fears, to Christ. to Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be Lord.